Welcome to the Amateur Movie Review Hour. I'm Trevor, and with me I have Megs, and I have Josh.
Good evening.
Guten Tag.
We're still doing German stuff, so
that's pretty awesome.
And I had to think about how do you say like hello in German.
Hello.
Hello. What's Guten Tag? What is that?
That good morning or good day.
Yeah, there you go.
Guten Tag. Yeah, Guten Tag is usually like your morning.
Yeah.
And Guten Nacht.
And you point to the sky with your five fingers?
No. People in Germany did do that for a period of time.
There was.
Then they stopped after everybody in the world was like, we can't do that.
No.
We don't do that. As you guys may have known or found out, I made you watch a historical drama.
Yes, you did. Made is the correct word here, because that's the only way I would have watched this movie.
Yeah, I was really unaware of this movie that he did. I was not. Yeah, it surprised me. I'd never seen this movie. I wanted to try and talk about the IRA, and that period of time for Northern Ireland and Ireland, but I'm not going to, because there's much smarter people than myself to do that. Instead, I'm just going to give very brief effects of starvation on the human body. You will first experience slowed metabolism, then impaired kidney function, followed by a weakened immune system, then the inability to regulate your body temperature, severe weight loss, organ failure, and then everybody else can guess what happens after that. Kaput. You die. No more. Yeah. Doesn't look like a fun way to go.
Looks terrible.
Yeah. There's some in the early stages, the body will start to break down glycogen, which is a starchy substance that's stored in the liver. It's used to maintain blood sugar levels. The liver can provide glucose for the first few hours. And then after that, it goes into the body begins to rely on the stored fats. And then the body turns bone and muscle into a source of energy, which then I believe just sort of cascades into the organ failure part, where then the body starts to just devour itself and its remaining organs, even the skin. That's where you see those lesions. Some of those are probably bed sores from, especially where you could see like where the bone was exposed during that time.
But that's also 4 years of the other shit too.
Yes.
Like had to have been covered in like all kinds of rash and sore and lesions and whatnot from that filth.
Sure.
Shit.
Yeah, but you know that they're not getting moved and rotated as much as they would normally in like a hospital.
They probably still fucking got punched
area.
Up. You know?
Yeah.
That was a light version of what happened at the end. We'll just say that.
Like, oh, sure.
Definitely, yeah.
Positive.
Yeah. It was a lot cleaner.
Sure.
It was much more tame and clean.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And this was a very filthy looking movie, so that's saying a lot.
Yeah. They probably got around most of it because it was historical and not just for
shock and awe.
Which
was what it was, though.
Yes. It was the response of those who, I don't, of those Irish freedom fighters to try and gross out their captors.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a psychological weapon.
Warfare.
Yeah. So that's all I want to talk about. Sorry to have made you all depressed for 90 minutes. I'd say the beginning part, like the first half, it wasn't too bad. Like it wasn't depressing.
That's
it was
where
just
all
more
the poop
sad.
Was.
I know that's where all the poop was.
There was the poop.
There was a lot of poop.
Sure.
Lots of poop.
There was some blood. There was hair.
There was some, yeah.
Lots of hair and poop. Yeah. And it was intermingled.
Everything that leaves evidence, like a scene, a crime scene, was everywhere in this movie.
Even the kissing scene, I was like, you know, they haven't brushed their teeth in a really long time, lady. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
You're doing it.
I wouldn't even care if I missed my man. I would not.
Sure.
That kissing scene would be a no. That would be a big no from me.
It was mm-hmm. for them. It was a movement, so they were risking themselves and everything that they hold.
Draw the line.
Sure.
I draw the line.
For their belief. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to brush your teeth first.
I agree.
No poop. No poop mouth.
Yeah. Well, maybe they did. I'm not unsure because they were at least cleaned and they were. Somewhat. They weren't shaven or anything. They were just somewhat clean when they were allowed to have visitors. So maybe they did brush their teeth. Maybe they didn't. But if they didn't, I believe you have the right to feel that way.
Yes, I do.
You could tell.
Yeah, no poop mouth.
Whatever political paramilitary group that you're working for, that's your boundary.
That's my boundary.
They won't cross that. So that was all I wanted to talk about really briefly. What is the Amateur Movie Review Hour? Before we began our podcast, the three of us curated a list of approximately 100 movie genres. We then fed that list to a magical random generator that we use to provide us with a movie genre. The three of us take turns choosing movies to watch that fit into the chosen genre. We then watch that movie and attempt to return bi-weekly to review and discuss that movie. The only movies that we have banned are Marvel and DC movies from the past 15 years. I am not a professional movie reviewer. I just love to watch movies and then review those movies with my friends and you, my fellow screen fiend. All right. The title of tonight's movie is Hunger. It was written by Edna Walsh and Steve McQueen and directed by Steve McQueen. The actors are Michael Fassbender and Liam Cunningham. There are quite a few other UK actors that I don't know, and they probably have good careers in the UK and such.
So all of the people that were in this are Irish and Northern Irish citizens.
I wouldn't be surprised to. I'm not surprised to hear that. It would be more of a slap in the face to that whole movement had they decided to use purely Scottish or English actors in that regard.
English Protestants. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The release date there were two. First, it was May 15th, 2008. For the Cannes Film Festival.
But just imagine Daniel Day-Lewis in that role, though.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. He would have had shit all over his face. Real shit.
It would have, yes.
All over his face. He would have been living in the shit.
Sure.
Yeah.
We speculate.
He would have lived there. Yeah, he would be like, this is where I'm going to be living, everyone. Yeah.
Yes. Speculation is that Daniel Day-Lewis probably would have done the entire starvation.
Oh, yeah. He'd be dead right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it had a second release date, I think UK-wide, of October 31st, 2008.
Ooh, Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they would decide to release it on that date.
It's spooky.
Like, sure. Weird movie. Been like, you want to go watch Hunger tonight for Halloween?
They confused it with that other Halloween, Hunger, the horror movie that I accidentally watched at first.
Yeah, it's like 10 years later, they're like, you know what? The Irish haven't spoken out. You know, the Jews keep doing their thing with the Holocaust. We need to really speak out about our stuff. So, you know, let's go, guys. Let's do this.
Halloween.
Let's get this together.
That's when we're doing
Halloween is when we're doing it. Well, because it Samhain.
Samhain. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was just it didn't dawn on me until then.
Yeah.
The runtime was 96 minutes.
Thank God.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I'm very glad that it was 96 minutes, and because I don't know if I could have taken like 120 minute of this type of story.
I had to turn it off and watch it during the day because I was afraid to go to sleep after watching something like this, because I was afraid it would come with me.
Yeah, well, he looks very, very, very scary without them intending it to be.
Yeah.
I chose this movie because I had never seen it, and it was Michael Fassbender, and I've seen a lot of his movies, and I didn't want to do stuff that was popular.
You also heard he hangs dong, didn't you?
Well, I got my proof.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, Michael Fassbender hangs dong. Got to check it out.
Yep. Not only his, but dong that was unasked for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very, very intriguing. So I just wanted to do something different. And it fell into the category, and I was very, very surprised at what I watched. I'm glad to have watched it because it at least gave me some an event that I really didn't know about that happened in Northern Ireland during the I don't know what to call it. I don't want to call it a war because it wasn't really a war.
It was more of an occupation.
It was during the Troubles.
Sure, it was during the Troubles.
During the Troubles, which was a movement period. Yeah. Specifically, I believe, from like 1970 something through the '80s.
And it also it started even earlier. Yeah.
Yes, it followed. I did read some facts, but I didn't want to discuss it. It did follow a nonviolent movement prior to this, from like 1964 to 1972, I think, something like that. And then, then the Troubles began, and Margaret Thatcher did what Margaret Thatcher did, which was pretty much say, yeah, we're going to treat you as criminals and not political, not activists, but political prisoners.
Which America would call terrorists. That's just,
well,
let's put that out there.
I think that's what they would be called, domestic terrorists.
Yeah, they were called terrorists.
I speculate. I've not read anything that
they were terrorists,
but I would not. I just guess because the media often does that. The media probably labeled them as terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what our country is. You know, kind of based off of it's fine. It is what it is.
The thing is,
it just matter who wins.
Sure.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Winners write the fucking story. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Yeah.
True, and it's still the rules. They are at a truce, I believe. It's not over. It won't be over until Northern Ireland is no longer Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. It's just one Ireland. But they are at a truce point right now where there is no open conflict. But that's why I chose this movie, because I had never seen it, and yeah. we'll get into it. So do you want to start it? This spoiler-filled review. Although, is it spoilery if it's just a historical drama?
Not really. It's one of those things with movies like this, you can definitely skip to the end and find out what's happening, because you already know from... Oh, I forgot to drink.
You're good.
Uh-oh. I'm never going to catch up.
Our movie begins with the title card, Northern Ireland, 1981. 2,187 people have been killed in the Troubles since 1969. The British government has withdrawn the political status of all paramilitary prisoners. Irish Republicans in the Mays prison are on a blanket and no wash protest. There's a cut to metal lids being banged on a hard surfaced floor somewhere by an unknown woman. Then there's a title reveal, Hunger. Raymond Lohan wakes up, soaks his hands in hot water, breaks his fast, and leaves for his place of employment. Before Lohan leaves for work, he surveys his silent street. He has neighbors, but they must be hiding. Before he leaves his home, he checks for a bomb under his car. A woman, his wife, nervously watches from the window. He starts the car and she is relieved. Lohan drives off to his job. On the radio station that he is tuned to, the voice explains the demands of the protesting prisoners. They want political status. Lohan has arrived at his place of employment. He is a guard, and he is a guard of the paramilitary prisoners.
This character was funny to me because it felt like they were trying to do so much with it. Make it like... You know, like either a
he's just a normal dude,
either a sympathetic or, you know, something to that nature. You know, obviously what's going to happen in, you know, as far as the character goes. But
yeah,
it was probably the most interesting thing, honestly, minus the like 17 minute part. You know, like just his character and how, like you said, you know, the wife looking out the window expecting him to blow up. They did that. There was about three times I want to say that where it was like, gonna fucking go, what's going on?
Sure.
Is this the fucking, are they doing the big boom?
Yeah,
are we getting that big boom up front?
Not that kind of movie.
It's not. Yeah, but I like the way they did that part. That was definitely like a good setting of it, of like
building the tension.
Exactly, because you need the aspect of what the guards and everybody's thinking, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
And their fear, their constant fear of retaliation, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
The man cracks jokes with his fellow guards. Lohan again soaks his bloody fists in the sink. Lohan then is outside smoking in the snow with his shirt drenched with sweat. He is staring up towards the snowfall. We cut to him walking down a prison hall lined with metal doors, where he goes to the cafeteria and he eats his lunch alone. A voiceover from Margaret Thatcher states that all prisoners will not get political status. A new prisoner is brought in by wagon. The young man looks scared. He demands to wear his own clothes because he will not wear the clothes of a criminal. The processing guard writes non-conforming prisoner into the logbook of incoming prisoners, but a don't give a shit look from the guard prompts the incoming prisoner to get naked and get into clothes. Actually, they don't get into clothes. Yeah.
That was such a weird fucking striptease too. The way he took his I'm not calling it a striptease, but that's what it was. Sure. Like for the viewing audience, that's what it was. And you're just like, it's just his guy slowly taking his clothes off for a fucking 2 minutes almost. That's like I get it. There's some symbolism there and everything.
That's when
like
I had to close the curtains.
Oh, because your neighbor
children.
Yeah,
I was like, the neighbor children are going to see this. Yeah.
Look, they did a great job.
You can go to jail for that.
I know.
I'm just watching a movie where they're hanging dong and these kids are walking by and I went to jail.
Yeah, I'm watching a historical.
It's a historical recreation.
It's not my fault. This is what happened.
Yeah, Trevor, you're going to get a notice.
I'm not going to get a notice.
It was your movie.
I did that. I didn't do it.
Lots of fun German movies we could have watched. You picked this one.
Well, this is an Irish movie with a German guy in it.
Couldn't tell with all the shit all over the walls.
They did a great job at film. The filmmaking process and all of that. It builds the uncomfortability as the audience as the watcher. Mm-hmm. You yourself are uncomfortable during this because they do a good job at building the uncomfortable into
and also staying on scenes where you would normally get away, but they're like, no, you're going to watch every moment of this.
In a normal movie, you do the uncomfortable, and then he starts to take his jacket off and unbutts his shirt. You cut to the next scene where he's in the cell naked.
This was amazing for a freshman theatrical directorial debut situation. It was hard to watch, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this was Steve McQueen's first movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was pretty blown away by that.
Especially when he was dead for almost 40 years or whatever. It's crazy.
He came back. He came back to life.
Just to tell the story of the IRA, which he wasn't really mostly around for. So that's weird.
Well, he was around for a lot of it.
For a little bit. But
the IRA started in the 1930s.
Oh, that was when the other war started.
There's a lot of history there. But the prisoner is escorted naked to his cell with only a blanket. He examines the cell that he is put in, and it is filthy. There is shit everywhere. Like, everywhere.
Everywhere.
The only place it isn't is the fucking ceiling.
And the toilet.
And because there's no toilet. That's...
you're like, hey, Michael Fassbender. You're like, nope.
This is what, 10 minutes into the film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender still hasn't shown up
yet. We still got some time.
Yeah. The prisoner is terrified, more terrified than when he came in. And he also sees his cellmate, who is also naked and cold. The cellmate asks the incoming prisoner in something in Gaelic, but the prisoner replies in English. So then the cellmate asks him about Fancy Quinn from Falls Road. Some of the Irish names that you hear throughout history are like, that is a fucking great name. Fancy Quinn. Like that's a fucking Fancy Quinn. Like, what? Why is that his first name or is that his nickname? And if that's his nickname, why is it fancy? What does he do? What does he wear?
He probably wears a fancy hat.
He either wears very nice clothing or he has sex with men.
Okay.
That's my
interpretation.
I think he wears fancy clothing.
And has sex with men.
Okay.
But the newcomer doesn't know who he is. The cell, they talk about their sentences. The newcomer is six years. The current occupier of the cell is in for 12 years. We then find out that the cellmates' names are Jerry. That's the guy who's been there for a while, who's already been painting the walls with his own poo. And the newcomer is Davey Gillen. Davey plays with a fly that does not have the energy to fly due to the temperature.
Oh, such a weird scene.
I know. I thought he was going to eat it. I thought that's what he was trying to do, was like to get it on his finger so he could eat it. Because they were still protesting. They were still in the hunger strike.
They weren't in a hunger strike.
I think they were.
Wait, at the beginning?
Yeah.
No, they had.
That was a filth strike. Okay. That was filth and no clothing. They said that they had tried hunger strikes, but it always failed because they never fully went through with it. So.
Okay. But Davey eats as Jerry smears some shit on the walls. When Davey is finished with his meal, he dumps it into a corner where many days of food waste has been piled. Jerry fashions some type of door dam and funnel. A voice shouts a phrase in Gaelic. Jerry then dumps a foul-looking brown liquid down his door dam and funnel, which goes out into the hall. And you can see when they cut to that hall scene, you can see that all the prisoners, all the cells in that hall have done it.
It's a river of slime.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking gross, too.
Those Ghostbusters.
Oh. Some months later, Jerry is smearing poop on the walls as Davey folds. Actually, hold on. I need to correct that. Jerry is lubing his butthole as Davey is folding a piece of paper and puts into a small ball and then wraps with saran wrap or plastic wrap. Jerry is brought from his cell to a secured part of the prison. Jerry and Davey, the both of them dress. Jerry uses his teeth to tear a hole in the tanked area of the pants. They dress and they are receiving visitors. Davey passes his note on by way of kissing, while Jerry receives a package from his visitor. And his visitor removes a package from her vagina, and Jerry is able to secret away the package in his prison pocket. Back in the cell, Jerry fishes out the package he has received. It is a radio. Jerry listens to the British newscast as Davey.
You know the thing about radios in prison? They all sound like shit.
Sure.
Especially that prison.
That one smells like shit, too.
Oh, man. Oh, I bet. Jerry is listening to the British newscast. Davey, while Jerry is sleeping, rubs one out.
It's fucking weird.
Like, yeah, not throwing that in. Fucking gross. Because, before he did, he was looking at Jerry, and there were maggots fucking crawling like around fucking Jerry's hand or whatever. And then he looks away and he's like, "This is a good time to jack off."
Yeah, he's like, "I got that little picture. Deep slumber. My wife gave me that little picture.
She drew it.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know.
Constance."
There are maggots in the, like, it's gross. There's maggots in the room. There's rotting food. There's shit on the walls. Like, I don't know if I could get hard knowing that.
This is not a popcorn movie.
No.
This is not a dinner in a movie kind of situation.
No.
I feel sorry for anybody who went to see this movie with the dine-in option. Sure.
Or with a bag of spaghetti.
A bag of spaghetti is exactly what you don't want to eat.
It'd be the worst version of
this. You mean spa?
Yeah.
Spaghetti?
Spaghetti. Biscotti.
Some unknown time has passed. The guards are walking down the cell or down the hall, replacing the name cards of the cells. Jerry tells Davey to get ready. We see a prisoner from a different cell dragged off to be cleaned by the guards. The prisoner spits at Lohan. In turn, Lohan hits the prisoner. Lohan then uses shears to cut the prisoner's hair against his will. Like, they're not even, like, precise about it.
No.
Like, they're cutting the shit out of them, too, while they're doing it. They throw them into a tub, and then they wash them roughly. We now see why Lohan has bloody knuckles.
It's like a fucking 5-year-old that doesn't want to take a bath.
Yeah.
No, don't get me clean, no.
The prisoner that has been forced to be washed and shaven and his hair cut is Bobby Sands, who is played by Michael Fassbender, and he's taken back to his cell. There's a guard in a hazardous waste suit that uses a pressure washer to clean the soiled cells of the prisoners. Bobby, Fassbender's character, visits with his parents. You get a shot at like some note passing and some IRA stuff. At the Sunday Mass, the Irish prisoners talk shop while exchanging notes and news from the outside. Bobby uses a Bible page to roll a cigarette, which he later uses to burn the notes from beyond the walls. The next morning, when he reads an unburned portion of a note, a legible portion reads, time this stop, agree to civilian clothes, negotiate. Cut to Bobby, now clean shaved, healed, and sees that prisoners are all receiving secondhand civilian clothes, not their clothes. Some of the guards are snickering. Bobby doesn't like the snickering. Back in the cells, Bobby shows his distaste by wrecking his room along with the newly acquired clothes. When the other prisoners hear the ruckus, they destroy their cells too. There is a truckload of riot guards that has been called up to quell the protest. There is a prison warden, or they call them the governor, walks by and leaves so he doesn't have to be privy to what's about to happen. The guards begin to bang on their shields as one just starts yelling. Then the prisoners are removed one by one from their cells and forced down this gauntlet of abuse. They beat them with batons, throw them violently about, force them to watch as they cavity search them, and then stick the used gloved hand into the prisoner's mouth. All the prisoners are subjected to the inhumane treatment. During all this, a young guard cries alone. Lohan visits his mother in a retirement home. She is not well. As Lohan sits there talking to his mother, an assassin shoots Lohan in the neck from behind. Blood spatters Mrs. Lohan. Like, that was...
That was rough.
Yeah, it was. Like, I didn't see that coming. You see him walk up, bang, like, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Father Dominic Moran, played by Liam Cunningham, has arrived to the prison to talk to Bobby. The two of them have good rapport. After some fantastic dialogue, Moran asked Bobby why he called him here.
Now, here's the thing about this movie. If you want to watch, find this on YouTube or whatever, and this is straight 17 minutes, right? Correct?
Yeah, 17 minutes, 10 seconds.
This is a 17-minute part of them just going back and forth. This is a conversation between the two of them.
One take.
This is a one-take shot. It was great. Well, no, it's done in one take.
It's done in one take, yeah. But it took them four takes to get
it. It took them four takes to get it right. Yeah.
But it was also because they moved into each other's house, or they moved in with each other and went over it and over it and over it so that it would be
And it is
smooth.
God.
It's very
the only reason, I mean, minus the cinematography in this movie, the only reason you can go like, oh man, like let's give somebody something is this movie. Like you can almost give it a best actor, best supporting actor, sure, for what, you know what I mean? You can get into that conversation for this part. I was like half asleep because I got off late at night, but I was hungover. Never mind, doesn't matter. It was on a Sunday morning. I don't know why, when I watched this movie, and this part I was just riveted by because this is a great conversation.
Yep.
About ethical parts of things. You know, like not really. It is God-fearing because it's obviously they're both Catholic and thing to that nature, but it's just a great representation of martyrism, you know, just when to let things go, you know what I mean? Like it's literally dying on your cross. That's what it is. If you want to die on your cross and take people with you, are you murdering those people? There's a lot of self-confliction and also like other aspects that are just like, if you watch this scene, it makes a lot of sense. It's like watching Philadelphia, you know, things like that, where like the moral aspect comes into things and you're just like, and it makes you question things. This is a really good scene because I can see both sides of everything. So anyways.
Yeah, no, this scene is a scene that sort of proves or is showing the side of belief. Regardless, you know, of just belief, mm-hmm. Like somebody views Moran's view is in the argument for life.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby's is also for life, but at the cost of their death, but. That's okay if the end goal is reached.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Bobby's argument, is my understanding. And Moran's is, yeah, His end goal is the same, but he doesn't want the unnecessary death. But what's unnecessary? Mm-hmm. If you have a belief that you want to see complete, your death isn't unnecessary.
Right.
It's necessary. I think that's what Bobby's saying.
I think he's one of self-sacrifice, and the priest is more like, let God provide.
It's more of the approach to things, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like when a kid is there and they're kicking and screaming, are you gonna let them just do it? You know what I mean? Like, it's that's how do you handle these kind of things? And that's how government does things to a point, but it's on a bigger level. So yeah, 40 people, they start dying in jail. You put that on the news, who's going to care in the British, you know, like, communities? You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what Bobby, like, pretty much says during this scene, too. He's like, he's
10, 40, how many people have to die? You know, you're the entire people that are in there?
Sure, yeah. You know? Yeah,
like, well, because nobody's going to notice unless it's a lot. You can sweep one or two under the rug. But when you start having a mass funerals,
10, like 10, like 5, you could spin it, be like, oh, they got sick with something. Yeah. They're poor condition.
But you also don't want the families to start speaking out.
Yes.
The church starts speaking out. Yeah.
It's our speculation in that. Yeah, this is a fucking fantastic scene.
Yeah.
This is a great scene.
Well, it's
two
great actors.
Yeah.
And it just comes off as so realistic and so heartfelt.
Had you either of you heard it Fassbender at this point?
Like,
I don't recall hearing.
I didn't hear about him until X-Men.
Was this had to have been around X-Men First Class? Had to have been right around this point.
So X-Men First Class was a few years after this.
Okay.
Because this was his big breakout in the States that made it over the pond, as far as I know. I mean,
well, this would have been shown on IFC channel.
Yeah.
Like, or you knew of an art house somewhere in America where they were showing this movie at the theater.
I knew about it because it's a big deal when an actor does that to his body.
Sure.
So
yes,
that
yeah.
was something
they like
that
to make a big deal of.
They like to make a big deal about it. You know, when Bale did it.
Sure.
When Quaid did it. Whenever you take your life into your craft, into your hand, you know, you could die honing your craft. There were stories about this movie because of that. So at the time I was familiar with the story. I didn't know what this movie was about, though. I just knew that he was losing a lot of weight for a movie, and I knew it was called The Hunger. So I wasn't sure if it was about a guy's eating disorder. I didn't know what it was about.
Sure.
I didn't pay a whole lot of attention about to the storyline. I just knew that there was an actor losing a ton of weight to make this movie.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think.
I think this was super early on, honestly, with him. Yeah, everything else seems like it might have been across the pond.
Sure.
Like Agatha Christie
shit. This is his breakout role. This is the movie made him.
This movie, as his first, like, role in some type of, or as a lead actor, like, hell,
I think this was the direct movie where they were like, you are going to be the great Magneto because
we saw what you did in this movie.
We saw what you did in this, and you were going to play a Holocaust Jew.
You
got it.
You're good. Because you're also of German descent, so you know.
Like, I would have seen him a lot because I watched a lot of British television.
Sure.
So I would have seen him on some episodes of things. I didn't know who he was.
Sure.
The BBC you watch?
I hadn't heard of him at all.
He was in Eden Lake. So Eden Lake came out the same year this did. I was a big, I loved Eden Lake, and I didn't know his name off the top of my head, but that's when I saw X-Men, I was like, oh, that's the guy from Eden Lake. Because I was a big fan of, what's her name? Kelly Riley. She's the star, she was the gal. So that was kind of that was my introduction to him.
That is a show that I am unaware of and didn't even know about until right now. Thank you.
It's a little kind of a little horror, psychological thriller kind
of. So Moran asked Bobby why he was called to the prison. Bob.
Oh, let's go back a second. He was in Band of Brothers.
Was he?
He was in Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers.
Gunpowder Treason.
I didn't watch that.
A different Sherlock Holmes.
Band of Brothers.
300. He was in 300. Oh, he was one of the carved up men in 300. He had some stuff going before this, definitely. Goldfish was huge. I remember Goldfish.
I have no idea what Goldfish is, other than the delicious snack.
Yeah, and that was right before. So Eden Lake was just after this. But Goldfish was, yeah, it was him and Carolyn Carver. More indie, but I do recall that movie. Anyways, so yeah, he had a, this was okay. This was definitely his going into the crescendo of his, like
showing
you're
the
depth
guy. He can plumb in his ability.
Exactly, like you're a leading role guy. Yeah. We know what you can do, and then he's like, all right, I'll do shit too. Like, you know,
yeah.
Literally.
He's like, they thought it was going to be like a shitty movie, but he's like, nope, it's going to be a shit movie.
Literally.
Moran asked Bobby why he called him there. Bobby thinks that the IRA leadership wants him to negotiate because the prisoners are no longer good propaganda. But Moran tells Bobby that his paranoia is unfounded. Bobby explains his perception. At the end of the conversation, Bobby tells Moran that they're planning another hunger strike on March 1st. That's why Bobby asked Moran to the prison, to tell him about the hunger strike. Bobby is determined to die for his belief. Moran tries to talk him out of the strike, but Bobby is dead set on his choice. Bobby asks if Moran has ever been to Gwydor in Donegal. Moran replies affirmatively. Bobby tells Moran a story about how he had to kill an already severely injured fowl. He tells Moran that he is aware and accepts the responsibility of the repercussions that will come from the hunger strike. Moran is left speechless by Bobby's reasoning. And to see fucking Moran, like, have no reply to how Bobby reasoned it, he's like, fuck, dude, I don't have, like, a good argument. Like,
I don't
okay, if that's how you view the scenario, then I can't stop you because you're set on that.
Yeah.
Like, you will do it because that is how hard your belief is.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing and a curse, I think, in some regards. Another guard uses some cleaning product and a push broom to clean the hall floor again of a substance leaking from under the cell doors.
2 minute scene.
I know.
Sucking fast forward.
There's another voiceover from Margaret Thatcher about the hunger strike. Sometime later, Bobby lies in bed dying. His parents are being told that Bobby's body is failing due to the hunger strike, and Bobby is looking skeletal. A nurse applies ointment to the ulcers on his back. A plate of food is placed and removed from Bobby's bedside multiple times a day. It's a torture technique. Bobby faints after evacuating his bowels full of blood. Bobby, now lying in bed, writhes in pain, convulsing with hunger cramps. The bloodied sheets are removed from Bobby's bed, and new clean sheets are applied to his bed. I thought Bobby had died. Like there's like two or three fake outs in here.
I thought he was dead so many times. I was like,
he's not dead.
Because I would almost, it's like the quarter of the movie is just watching him die.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah,
it was.
Yes, the last 20 minutes of this movie are just watching Bobby slowly decay and die. Yeah,
I can't imagine what it would be like to actually be sitting in the theater doing that.
Yeah,
at least
be
at my house, I can kind of like, oh, let me get a drink of water.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to go pee right now.
I'm not going to pause it. Yeah.
There's one Irish person in the back on, such a brave soul.
Appearing most like a skull, Bobby surveys the cell of his ceiling. He finds a crack and follows that down to where he hallucinates a vision of his younger self. Bobby cannot hear what an unknown visitor is saying. The voice is extremely muffled. Do you think that's a lawyer? Like I thought this guy was a visitor earlier in the movie when it showed Bobby visiting his parents. Like I thought it was that guy, but I didn't go back to check.
Right.
But I don't know who this person is. It may have been a lawyer. I don't know. I have no idea. He didn't look lawyery or barristers, I think they're called. I don't know what they're called in fucking. Oh, solicitors? Are they solicitors?
They're solicitors.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I was confused by that guy. But Bobby is laying in a tub when his regular nurse is replaced with a new nurse. This new nurse has the letters UDA tattooed on his knuckles. It doesn't look good for Bobby. Because UDA stands for the Ulster Defense Association, which was a Protestant military group that was created to protect Protestants, quote unquote. Bobby stands up from the tub only to collapse once he is standing. The nurse carries him back to his cell. He hallucinates his younger self again. Bobby undergoes an examination, a medical device that keeps blankets from off of his body. His failing body is carefully placed around Bobby.
That was interesting.
Like, yeah,
they use that for burn victims.
Yeah, yeah. It's because his skin,
his body
is failing.
Can't sustain the weight. Yeah, of a blanket.
Yes, that's how bad his body is failing him. That much weight would bruise and then turn into an ulcer. Yeah.
Like, and his skin would be paper. Paper skin.
No,
you wouldn't be able
you're,
to.
But I mean, you're
it's
so
probably
lucid.
Ulcery.
No, it's not. Your mind isn't what gives you the boners. Your body wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah,
the
body
it'd
probably eat the cartilage, fleshy stuff that's in the penis because it needs the energy. It's probably just got a form to pee.
So listen, that guys, if you do go on a hunger strike, your penis flesh will go. Get a boner.
Is my speculation
per Trevor?
Speculate.
Trevor says your penis cartilage will go away.
If it eats everything else in your body, why wouldn't it eat that? Nose cartilage, ear cartilage.
So you just turn into Skeletor?
Yeah.
Fucking
that's
no
exactly
bones.
What
like,
you turn into.
That's why Skeletor was so angry, because he was on a hunger strike, and it went bad. His penis cartilage went, and his nose cartilage.
Yeah. Skeletor has no penis.
Mm-mm. He has no penis. But then he started working out, and he's on trend. He's all geared up. He's like, I'm ready to do this. All these things are gone, but I'm a great person besides that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you, He-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Your fucking pompadour bullshit.
It's not a pompadour. It's a bullhead.
Page to page boy.
Page boy.
Yeah. Page boy. Yes.
Head. He's like, you know why he was mad at him? Because his head looked like a penis. And his was fucked
up.
Until next time. I love that meme.
Cut to Bobby's parents arriving to the current prison he is being held at. They have been brought there because Bobby. They have been brought there because Bobby is extremely near to death. Through blurry vision, Bobby sees his mother. The movie ends with Bobby remembering the time he got to go to Gweedore in Donegal, the most beautiful place in all of Ireland. A tear falls from Bobby's face as he exhales his last breath. Bobby's body is removed from the prison unceremoniously. After that, there is a title card that reads, Bobby died after 66 days on hunger strike. During this time, he was elected to British Parliament as MP. Oh, I wanted to research this name. So it's, I want to say Fermanagh and South Tyrone. After 7 months, the strike was called off. A further 9 men died. 16 prison officers were killed by paramilitaries during the blanket and no wash protests. In the following days and months, the British government effectively granted all the prisoners' demands, but without any formal recognition of political status. Roll credits.
You know what they should have done instead of like all the beating and stuff? Just trank them.
Yeah.
Wake up all clean and fucking like, God damn it, they did it again.
No, they wanted to beat them.
But
I think
it's better not to, though. You just trank them. You trank them. But just fucking trank them.
It's cheaper.
Put a trank dart in them. Then you can just sit them down. You can fucking cut their hair. You can give them the best haircut of their life.
These guys liked beating them.
Yeah, it was
enjoyable.
Yeah, people don't know actual warfare. They think it's all beating people up. No.
Well, and
these are Irish people.
Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know what it was because I wasn't there and I'm not a fucking professor on history or anything. It was political. It was ethnic. It's because it's still not over. It's a lot of things that I can't speak on, but those I know are the two basics of it. Just wanting to be a self-governing country and have Ireland united. They don't want much more than, I'm sure they want more than that.
Yeah, Texas,
I don't know
Texas
what
wants
they want.
The same thing. We fucking bash the fuck out of them, don't we? Huh? Texas and Nexus, huh?
We don't beat up Texans. I don't know
what's happening over there.
We don't beat up Texans. Nobody beats up Texans.
I mean, the government does.
Okay. Well, so that was Hunger. I don't know if I'll ever watch that movie again.
I will never watch that movie again.
I'm good.
I will only recommend them to watch the little part on YouTube if you can find it. But outside of that, no, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone's like, you know, super into that shit, I'd be like, well, I watched this and you can watch it if you want. But there's a lot of shock and awe in this, you know, kind of deal. But mm-hmm. I don't imagine a situation where that's ever going to come up, you know. Like, all of a sudden, like, hey, I'm surrounded by three, like, Irish guys. Hey, you guys ever watch Hunger? I did. Remember when that guy went on strike?
But I know, like, I have friends who are, you know, they're Irish-American. They're not sure. Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
As I am. I'm Irish-American. I'm not Irish. But
I wish I was.
Yeah. But I have friends who were Irish Americans who get really into this kind of thing, and they would hound you like, "Did you watch it? Did you watch this movie? Did you watch it?
Sure.
Did you watch this?
Now you get to do the reverse to them.
Did you watch When the Shakes the Barley? It's the greatest movie in the whole world. I got a tattoo of it on my leg. You know, like it's you get those people who are really, really into these movies. I don't even know if they've ever met anybody from Ireland, but they get really into this thing and. Those are the guys who want to watch this movie.
Yeah. Would you like to rate this movie?
Oh, it's hard to rate a movie like this.
We really need to.
I don't know if we can rate a movie like this.
Okay. Would you recommend this movie
to a historian?
Yes.
A historian who wants to watch something incredibly depressing but very well made. That's the problem. It's very well made. Yes,
exactly. That's
I would recommend it to
you. The acting's great. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
The direction is wonderful. I don't ever want to see this movie again.
If I was a film school teacher and people were looking into this, would be something on their list. No. You know, like, hey, just shock and awe here. If you're fucking skittish, don't watch it. But this is a great movie to learn how to do a lot of things when it comes to film.
Yes.
Sure.
If you are a member of the IRA, I would definitely suggest you watch this movie because I think you would love it. And I have met members of the IRA, so I think they would love it.
Yeah, well, it is... It is their story. Like, mm-hmm. It is an event in the... their movement and a very strong story about their movement.
Even if it were my story, I wouldn't want to watch this movie again.
I agree.
Have you ever met somebody from the Caribbean and watched Pirates of the Caribbean with them?
I like how you said Caribbean and then Caribbean. Because if it's the movie, it's the Caribbean. But if it's the place, it's the Caribbean. I don't know. I'm going to head to the Caribbean in a few months, and I'll bring a DVD with me of Pirates of the Caribbean.
You can watch Pirates of the Caribbean, Black Pearl. You can watch Pirates of the Caribbean, Lost Tides.
I will bring my butler into the room to watch.
That's the power of words. Words.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend this movie if you enjoy good, great movies, regardless of how it'll make you feel. If you're looking for that, if you want to watch a movie that'll make you feel everything.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever recommended a Requiem of a Dream to anybody?
Yes, I have.
Why?
I have not.
It is a great film. It sucks what happens to the people in it, to the characters in it, but it is a great movie.
I've never met anybody that watched that movie and came out the other side feeling any form of happy or anything.
I didn't say I was happy. I said I watched it and it was a great movie.
There is a genre of shock and awe, and this is in there. Yes, that's in there.
It's human. It shows what humans do and what humans are capable of, what humans will go to. In any regard, I think that's what makes a great movie.
There are also people who like to be shocked, and then when they see a movie like that, they also want people to see them a certain way. So then those are the people who are like, you gotta see Requiem for a Dream.
Sure.
Because when I worked at the video store, that movie came out back then, and there were a lot of people who were like, oh my God, you gotta see Requiem. You really have to. It's just great. Yeah. I mean, there were employees putting those on their top.
Sure.
You know, their top. I did not. I don't care. Didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's like Schindler's List. I mean,
yeah, it's a great movie. It
I will
sucks
never watch
what
it
happens
again. Yeah.
About it. Like,
I never watch it again.
Yeah,
never. I have no need.
You could.
It's satisfied. Like what? It's brilliantly done. You know,
just
what I mean?
As this movie was.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
With less poop.
There's a lot more yes. positive lot on poop. That side, yeah.
I
would
I
say.
Agree because it was yeah. Steven Spielberg yeah. and it was a little bit more trying to be a little bit more upbeat.
It was also a passion project. I mean, yes. a real passion yeah. project.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Well,
I'd say...
Well, that's a whole different story, but I think he was trying to, like... Because... There was a pure vilification, obviously, of Germany, you know, because of all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
yeah.
He was
yeah.
trying to paint light of like, not all Germans are bad.
And that
this,
and that was
mean?
True. And that was true. Yeah. It was the yeah. populace yeah. versus the minority, the majority well, versus the minority.
It was separating the country from the country and the countrymen from the party and the
mm-hmm.
the,
exactly.
the, mm-hmm. the evil. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so those are our reactions and our ratings for this movie, Hunger. Now, after that, we've got our next segment, which is our next movie.
Ooh, Molly farted.
Probably. And, Megs, it is your choice.
It's my choice this week.
I know.
Oh, no. I'm so behind. I have a bunch.
Do you want me
to
jump in there?
No.
I got one.
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, you just watch it there.
Mine's great.
Okay, I have a few in my head that I would like to watch. Josh thought it was his week, so I was like, oh, I've got an extra week. Because I was kind of down to Rosalie Goes Shopping, Cat People. That would be Nastasia Kinski.
I've seen that one. Trevor, well, have you seen either one of those?
Say, I have not seen... Cat, I don't think I've seen Cat People.
Have you seen Rosalie Goes Shopping?
I don't know. I've not seen Rosalie Goes Shopping. Cat People looks very, very... Oh, are you talking the 1942
one? No, the one with Nastasia Kinski and John Hurt.
And Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
I do like that one.
So we're going to do that one because it's
okay.
probably easier to find. It's a fun... I love Cat People. And, my other choice, though, was another Nastasia Kinski. It is... Terminal Velocity. It's filmed here in Phoenix.
That was her?
Yes.
Ooh.
It's filmed in Central Phoenix. And
I remember a lot.
The unfortunate part about that movie is the Charlie Sheen part. Charlie yeah. Sheen is the co-star. I've seen this movie many, many times, mainly because it was filmed just, 2 miles from my house. So... There's that one too.
Gandolfini's in it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Christopher McDonald's in it.
I knew that. Yeah. So those are my two. I'm kind of going to stick with Nastasia Kinski, I think, on this one. So Cat People or Terminal Velocity.
Could be a bill.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, they are both available
both
to
available?
Rent. To rent on Amazon.
Is there a price difference that would be there, the...
There's a 20-cent price difference that I'm seeing from Cat People to Terminal Velocity.
Let's see.
Let me double-check that, because sometimes... okay, all right. Yeah, I need to double-check that. Oh, they are actually both the same amount to rent on Prime.
Okay.
At $4.29.
It's pretty steep, but we're going to do Cat People, I think.
Okay.
It's just a better movie.
All right.
Cat people got no reason to live.
Okay.
They got little paws and little tails and their buttholes sticking out from there. It's my Randy Newman song.
Okay.
It's Short People.
I know. Maybe you could add that to the movie.
What, Short People?
No, your little Cat People.
I think I can't time travel, so we're fine.
Okay.
No, but I have that recorded, so I can isolate that and do all the nifty audio
yeah.
terms. All right.
Thank you for not doing Tumor of Velocity, because that movie is shit.
It is shit, but I love that movie, and it's got shit. A lot of old Phoenix, and it's got downtown Phoenix parts that have been torn down, so that's kind of
I'd rather have, if I have a Sheen movie, it's going to be the driving one, the chase.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. What's her name?
What? The chase? The one, the remake? The one with,
Is it Ted? No, it wasn't Ted.
The fucking Alec one, Baldwin? Buffy the Vault. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, the chase. Oh, the one with, okay.
Not the getaway, the
Not
chase.
Not the getaway, okay. I like the chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got Flea and fucking,
Anthony Kiedis.
Anthony Kiedis. Uh-huh. They're fucking like these total California rednecks, which is,
yeah, I've actually watched that.
That happens.
That was one of those movies
and
that.
And Henry Rollins.
I loved that movie, but Charlie Sheen, in an interview about making the movie, said, about Swanson. If you tell her a secret, if you blow in her ear, you can feel it on the other side. And it was like, wow, you guys, they hated each other apparently making that movie.
I love that though.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen that movie many, many times because it was, it was like,
they had that car sex scene, which is pretty hot. Some hot shit.
And Josh Mostel.
What? What are you talking about?
Maybe we'll do that during the Charlie Sheen movie.
I'm thinking maybe.
I don't think we have a thing for that.
We don't have a Charlie Sheen?
No.
But he makes so many good movies.
Yeah. He was
in. Oh, Josh Mostel. He's like a, I don't know where he was. I can't remember. Cary Elwes. Ray Weiss.
All right, yeah, so Cat People is Meg's choice. So, yeah, if you'd like to watch Cat People listen next time, cool, great.
I think there might have been furries that came from this.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Cat People. We have no reviews?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I thought you said we're done. Sorry.
Well, we'll be getting to there. Now it's give me the juice.
Give me the juice.
Megs, you got anything new?
Well, I am not watching anything new, but I'm watching something old.
Okay, okay.
I'm watching in preparation for the new Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching Beverly Hills Cop and Beverly Hills. Oh, it's 4. Okay, I'm watching the first. I didn't realize. Now I have to watch a 3, apparently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I watched the 1 and 2.
Third one's the one where they go to the theme park.
Okay, well, I need to watch that one now, too. But, But the, I keep falling asleep during the second one. It's good, but I fall asleep really easily. So I have to finish that one.
Is it Brigitte Nielsen?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because it's one of those, like, there's a poster for Cobra in the movie, and it's like, ha-ha, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, the kids wouldn't get that, but Brigitte Nielsen starred in Cobra, and that's where she and her lover, she and the Sly hooked up. But I'm really loving these Beverly Hills Cop movies. I haven't seen any of them since the 80s, so it's fun stuff.
Nice. Very cool. Josh, how about yourself?
I'm all over the place. Let's see. I just started season 3 of The Bear. I like it so far. What I did just watch was called Alchemy of Souls or Souls of Alchemy, one of the two. It's a Korean movie. Kind of fantasy, you know, there's like soul swapping, like things like that. It's kind of a medieval, Korean, you know, Chinese, like all that kind of time, that feudal era.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's 2 seasons, like 30 episodes total, but they're long. These are like hour 10 each.
Damn.
Like, yeah. Pretty good. It turned into more of a love story than I thought it would, but it's interesting. I I'm not going to watch Bollywood shit, honestly. I could say that. I'm just going to throw that out there. But I do like, you could tell the difference between Korean, Chinese, and Japanese cinema. Those are the ones I'm throwing out there. There's tons more, of course. But like Bollywood's just like so over the top with stuff. It's just like, it's out there. Korean is very on base. I feel like they try to push like their they're K-pop stars though in this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I can't tell because I don't know any of them, but it's interesting. There's some like it's interesting. I'll say if you like foreign stuff where you don't mind reading some subtitles and getting a story, and there's like a lot of not good choreography, but there's cool moves in it and stuff like that. There's like these mages that do stuff.
Ooh.
Like yeah. And it has that aspect because there's like four different like houses per se. They're kind of like Game of Thrones-esque where they're all sure. fucking like throwing each other under the bus and stuff too. So
yeah.
It's a fun
drama,
watch.
Intrigue.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. Check it out. But there's like at one point there's almost a one chick and then another chick and there's like five guys that are all like almost swapping, but they're not banging or anything like that. But the love interest thing just kind of like keeps digging and changing. And then with the soul swapping stuff, it gets interesting. But it's interesting. Check it out if you have some time. Even the first episode, I think it could hook you, honestly. But just, you know, that's something I've been watching.
Nice. Nice. Very cool.
How about you, TB?
Well, I did another home.
More movies with shit in it?
No. Oh,
you got your fill?
Yeah. I'm not a fecal man.
No. Nor am I.
I did my second time watching a theater premiere at home. This time it was The Watchers. Oh. The new movie that is written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, I think Issa mm-hmm. Shyamalan, I think that's what it was. So I got to watch it from the comfort of home.
How was that?
It was a pretty cool take on Irish lore. Had I not been a little versed in not all of Irish folklore, but some of Irish folklore, I wasn't
talking
surprised.
About leprechauns or
no,
what do you mean?
not leprechauns. It's a little spoilery. It's the changeling lore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a
new take.
Was
there a Gaelic name for that?
Probably. I didn't
okay.
look it up. But there's probably a Gaelic name for the changeling or the watchers.
Probably the changeling.
There probably might be. There's probably.
They didn't go like, oh, we called it like Hop in a Town Macarena. So I was trying. Remember that movie that it was called like? It was the one with fucking what's his name? That stupid Dave. The one that was on SNL that everybody liked or whatever, the tattoos and all that bullshit.
Oh, his name's not Dave. You mean,
Dave?
Pete?
Pete.
Oh, Pete Davidson.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, I knew there was a
well,
Dave.
Well, there is a Dave. You were correct.
Yeah. But there was a movie with him and then, the fucking tall guy. Tall guy from the, not Ferrari, but.
Why don't you use your cell phone computer?
I don't want to. This is more fun. The tall guy, he was in the DeLorean movie.
Are you talking about Doc?
No. Like, the movie about the DeLorean.
Oh, the okay.
I can't remember. And he was in The Hobbit. Not The Hobbit. Yeah, The Hobbit. He was the Lord that rode the big elk.
Oh.
Play this game with us at home, guys. It's fun.
I know the face of who you're talking about.
So it's called
about.
The movie was called like Bang Bang Dead or whatever. Murder Dead or something like that. And there's a bunch of girls there and they're playing in a house and he's a much older guy. And then Pete Davidson's there, and they're playing this game.
Oh, you're talking about bodies.
Yeah. I watched a movie that I thought was that, but it wasn't. Oh, it ended up being a movie about fucking skinwalkers.
Nice.
To where they're in this like house in the middle of nowhere, and then all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, weren't there fucking only 11 of us here? And then fucking the lights dim, and then there's only 11 of them. But like basically, there's a skin changer, like a skinwalker. That comes in and it slowly brings you down to this certain number, and then everybody just gets fucking murdered.
Nice.
I can't remember what it was called, but I will find out.
That'd be great.
Or you know, you could put it in the comments, guys, because it's you know, this is what we do.
Yeah.
I like to look at the internet, but I like other people to look for me. So you know, just
boom.
Someday we'll hire somebody to do that.
Well, we walk around with you know computers in our hands now.
Mine's like at least 3 inches to the right of me. So
it's literally almost on top of your arm.
3 inches.
Oh, you just moved your arm. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Because this cold steel.
Cold steel.
Against my skins.
Oh.
Yeah, it is cool. But yeah, if you're interested, like, it was a good as a I want to say, I guess, a freshman debut for I need to correct, it's Ishana, Ishana, Ishana Night Shyamalan. It was cool. I had it figured about 30 after everything got going and looking at it, I was like, okay, all right, well, the twist was cool. But
how many daughters does he have?
I think he has two.
Because there's the one who's in his new movie.
I wasn't aware of that. I know his new one. Is it going to be the one with Josh Hartnett?
Yes.
Trap or
And his daughter
like
apparently
that.
Is a big pop star. So
okay. So she's playing the pop,
the pop
star in that? Okay. All right.
And I didn't know she's a in real life a trying to be. I don't know if she is or she's trying to be a pop star. I don't follow pop stars.
Me neither, Megs. Mm-hmm. I don't follow pop stars either.
No.
In any regard.
Unless it's New Kids on the Block. Yeah, I don't want
to
know it.
I need to know about all the hot pop stars in all the countries.
In all the countries. Yeah.
Thanks.
The really good Arabic ones right now.
Cool.
So it brings us to our next segment, which are reviews. And no, we do not have any.
Boo.
So if you'd like to rate and review us, you can do so at Apple Podcasts, where you can find us at the Amateur Movie Review Hour. You can find us on Spotify as well, under the same name. You can follow us on Instagram at the Amateur Movie Review Hour, or if you're feeling froggy, maybe you just want to email us at the amateurmoviereviewhour@gmail.com. Yeah, so the next movie is Cat People. That's Meg's choice. Thank you for listening. Check you later.
Check you later.
We're going to dress up like cat people when we do the next podcast.
Oh, we should wear cat ears.
Okay, I will have to order cat ears.
I need to find my cat ears.